Hi, welcome to Speaking of Sex with the Pleasure Mechanics. I'm Chris.
I'm Charlotte.
We are the Pleasure Mechanics, and on this podcast we share expert advice so you can have an amazing sex life. You can find a complete podcast archive over at pleasuremechanics.com, where you will also find a wealth of information, sex advice, techniques, and more, all there for you to explore whenever you wish. And don't forget to use our alphabetized sex index to quickly find the topics that interest you the most. On today's episode, we are going to be answering a question submitted by a listener. And remember, you can always submit questions for future episodes by heading over to pleasuremechanics.com. And this is a very interesting topic we're going to take on. It is a version of oral sex that raises lots of questions. Charlotte will get us started by reading the letter submitted by a listener. Here we go.
Dear Pleasure Mechanics, my boyfriend and I listen to your podcast every week, and it has prompted some very exciting conversations and bedroom adventures. So glad to hear that. For this, I thank you. But last night he told me he wants to try Irumashio. I told him I would think about it, primarily because I didn't even know what it was. When I Googled it this morning, I was a bit horrified. What could he possibly mean by this? Because surely he doesn't really want to orally rape me. Your advice, please? Thanks. My lips are sealed.
So let's start with a definition of Irumashio, because this is a pretty out there term that not all of us have heard before. Do you want to define it for us, or shall I?
Go for it.
All right. Okay, so Irumashio is the act of thrusting the penis into the mouth, where the recipient is passive and the thruster is active. So often we think of a blowjob where the recipient just lies back and relaxes, and the person who's doing the oral sex, who's performing oral sex, is kind of in charge of how fast and how deep, and they're the active partner, even though they're getting penetrated, right? Irumashio is when you present your mouth and the person thrusts into it, and they're the active one. They're the one that's kind of determining the speed and force. And this term comes to us from Roman times. And in Latin erotic terminology, they had two distinct words for oral sex on a penis. The fellatio version was what we think of oral sex, and Irumashio was when the person with the penis engages in motions by moving hips and body in a rhythm of their own choice. And in ancient Roman times, this was an act of violence, basically. It was an act of force done unto someone. It wasn't a consensual sex act.
So they were thinking as fellatio as more of the consensual act where the...
I don't know that. I'm not a Roman sexual scholar, and I'm not going to pretend to be one, but based on our research, based on what we know that actually all oral sex was considered kind of obscene and vulgar. And one of the things I liked that I came across was it was considered obscene partly because of urine passing through the penis, and therefore it was dirty. And this is very parallel to how we think of anal sex now. It's like, ooh, that's a one-way hole. Imagine if we thought of the penis as a one-way exit hole and we would never put our mouths on it because it was so dirty. And this just points to, again, how culturally based our sexual values are and how these things change over time. And they're flexible and they're created, therefore they can be recreated. Anyway, so giving oral sex was even used as a legal punishment in these times. We have records of legal cases where, especially in cases of adultery, the adulterer was forced to perform oral sex. And this was right up there with punishments like cutting off your nose or your ears or sometimes even the genitals. So,
it's intense.
It's brutal. And I think this is one of the interesting things is we see Roman erotic art, you know, these frescoes in Pompeii and all of the sculptures that had big genitals and lots of eroticism in it. And it's easy to romanticize that. Ha ha ha, Roman, romanticize. It's easy to glorify that and think that, oh, they lived in this orgiastic time where they lied around and feasted on figs and honey and had sex with everyone. But actually, these were very brutal times, and the sexuality system was very much based on a class system. Those with higher social class and wealth were given full permission to take sexual advantage of people of lower classes and of slaves. And there was a lot of sexual violence, a lot of non-consensual sex happening, and it was really based on your social status. And men, of course, were the highest social class, and wealthy men higher yet. And these men took full advantage of their positions. So it's really important not to say, like, oh, way back when they had, you know, these bacchanals. And we also base this partly on the fact that their gods had sexuality. You know, sexuality was woven into the mythology of their gods, and their gods had sex with mortals. And there's, you know, there's all this mythology about Grecian and Roman times, but it's really important to remember that it wasn't a big party for everyone where they sat around feeding each other grapes and fucking.
And it's state-sanctioned in this way, that the government and sex, it was all really linked and combined, and that kind of sexual violence was very normalized.
Yeah, sex laws were created by the wealthy for the wealthy and legalized sexual violence upon people of lower classes. And even things like, you know, the Vestal Virgins, we have this image of these goddesses lounging around in temples, and they were a real thing, but the Vestal Virgins were young girls chosen for their remarkable beauty at a young age, kept locked in this temple, and if the city had, you know, a drought or the crops failed or anything like that, they would bury the Vestal Virgins alive as an offering, right? So, like, that's not that romantic and certainly not that sexy. All right, so there's tons of history to go into here, and I think it's important to look at this history because this is where a lot of our sex laws and values originate, is this clash between Christianity and ancient Roman times, but that's a whole nother topic. So we're going to leave it there. I think what's important here is to remember that there is a historical root to this word, and this idea that there is status in who is being penetrated and who is doing the penetration still persists with us today. In a lot of cultures, you're not even considered homosexual if you're the one receiving the oral sex. And if you're the one giving oral sex, that's feminizing, therefore debasing, and linked with homosexuality. Right? So this kind of ethical system of whose hole is being penetrated with what still exists in a lot of cultures.
So just to clarify that, if you're the penetrator, you're not gay. But if you're being penetrated either anally
or orally,
then you're considered... It's
if two men are doing it.
Yeah.
Right.
So it's this, like, misogynist...
Right. Yeah. Okay, so your boyfriend says, hey, baby, let's do some Iramashio. What the fuck does he mean by that? Go ahead.
First of all, it's essential that you ask him what he means. Like, what parts of this is turning him on? How much does he know about it? What elements of it feel erotic or interesting to him?
Right. Have that conversation. So, hey, I Googled Iramashio. What's interesting to you about that? And as always, like, that conversation is the foundation for fabulous sex, right? It sets the consent in place, and you both get to express what you desire and where your boundaries are, essential for any new sexual adventure. But certainly here. But I would bet, and we're going to proceed with the understanding that it's not oral rape he's interested in. You cringe every time I say that word. As do probably a lot of people. Sorry about it. It's not that forcefulness that maybe he's interested. It's the passivity and the idea of thrusting into someone's passive mouth, which maybe turns him on. And we can get that, right? Like, we can understand why that's erotic for people. And so we're going to proceed with the understanding that that's the experience he is seeking. So how do we make this a consensual, sexy, fun, playful act for both of you?
not one that is overstepping boundaries and filled with lack of consent. These sorts of subjects make me so uncomfortable to talk about with the general public, because most of you, I'm going to assume, are fabulous, heartful, respectful humans who are going to be treating your partner with love and respect, even when playing with these really complicated aspects of sexuality. And I hope that every single one of you is doing that. And when we're speaking to the public and not able to look you in the eye and trust your intentions, these feel complicated and troubling to speak about sometimes.
Yeah, but you know, people are going to do what they're going to do. And just by the fact that some people are listening to this podcast, I think they're interested in learning more and gaining more literacy. And, you know, it's, yeah. I think we need to understand that people are curious. But I think what you're really pointing to is these are advanced sex acts that when done well can be super hot and exciting, and when done poorly can create traumatic experiences. And we need to take that seriously, right? And that can be true of any sex act. A simple kiss can be traumatic if done with wrong intentions and with forcefulness and lack of consent. But certainly thrusting a penis into someone's mouth can be very intense and traumatic if they don't want it there. And so let's get to how to do this right. I think that's our responsibility, is laying out a plan on how to do this in the best possible way. So let's get to it. So consent. This is your bell to ring right now.
Well, first of all, can I just say that, of course, you never need to do this. You never need to feel any obligation to. If you start doing this and you decide you actually don't like it, tap out, get out of that situation, say, I actually don't like this, stop. I know in my history of giving oral sex, I did not like it when anyone thrust into my mouth, and I would stop it immediately and say, please, I would hold there.
But did you have a conversation before that thrusting happened?
No.
Right.
And I think that's important. And I think that I think that some people just assume that's what you're supposed to do when you're receiving oral sex, the thrusting. And I just want people to remember that you don't have to. You can just hold their hips and say, please, can you stop thrusting? And
I'm in control right now.
Can you lie back and relax? I'm going to do this. I've got this. And I just want to presence that language. Sometimes people find it hard to stop something that they're not enjoying. And you can adjust this and make it your experience. So don't ever feel like you have to have people thrust in your mouth. Stop and you be in control if that is your thing.
And
that was my thing.
It's not the thrusting, it's the depth of thrusting.
Absolutely.
And so a trick there is to wrap your hands around the base of the penis, one hand or two hands, depending on the length and how much thrusting you want to allow into your mouth. And so if the guy wants to thrust, you can still control the depth and just allow him to thrust the head of the penis, which might be much more pleasant than getting, you know, a cock at the back of your throat hitting your gag reflex. Right? So there's all these little adjustments you can make. And this comes, so there's a conversation beforehand, and then there's communication during the act. And what we strongly encourage you to do is develop a non-verbal form of communication to be able to be incommunicado with each other, because your mouth is going to be
busy,
otherwise engaged. So simple hand gestures like the okay sign or thumbs up can mean I'm fine, keep going. A stop hand, you know, you are directing traffic, you would do that flat palm, flat out. That can mean, okay, we're done, stop or slow down. You can use a tap out, you'd mentioned tapping out on their thigh. Two taps means
I'm done, stop.
I'm done. Where one tap means slow down. Like, if you establish that ahead of time, and this might seem clinical, but what it actually is doing is freeing you to have an erotic experience without that worry of, is she okay? Is she enjoying this? Is he okay? Does he know? All of those worries take you away from the physical sensations of sex. And the more you can clear your mind of worry and concern about the other person's experience, the freer you are to enjoy the experience itself. So I think that's really important. And what happens here is during irumashio is the recipient gets as relaxed as possible. And in a, it's kind of a form of power play, right? In a submissive way or in a loving way, presents their mouth and throat to be penetrated, right? And you want to get physically comfortable. You want to have like enough foreplay that you're feeling aroused and turned on by this, and you present yourself. And then what happens is, because the person who's doing the penetrating, doing the thrusting, takes control, is in charge, that comes with a responsibility. There's pleasure in it, but it comes with a responsibility of paying attention to the recipient's experience. You cannot lose yourself in the pleasure of the thrusting and forget that you're thrusting into a real live human being. So you need to develop that split attention of your own pleasure, your own sensations, your own experience, while keeping part of your attention on the recipient's experience and kind of navigating that balance between what feels good to you and what you know feels good to the recipient. And the nonverbal communication will help, but you also just want to watch and pay attention and go slowly and ease into it and make sure that depth of thrusting feels good. And this is where I need to remind you, this is an advanced sex act. And hopefully you've done enough oral sex between the two of you that you kind of know how you fit, because depending on the person's mouth and throat and how they like to receive oral sex and the size of your penis, there's endless varieties of how two people fit together in this way, right? And so you need to know, does the person receiving really like deep throating and that deep penetration and that kind of gagging on cock? Some people love that and eroticize it. Other people hate it. And you need to know that about your partner, is like, how deep can you go comfortably? And then go that deep and enjoy that experience of thrusting without being a battering ram, without taking advantage of this orifice that's being so lovingly presented to you.
Yes, for the receiver, it is an act of surrender and receiving.
And trust.
And trust. So as with every sex act, this can be a really respectful, interesting exploration of power play, of really taking on those roles of giver and receiver, of full surrender and full active thruster.
Control, yes.
Control. You know, it can be an interesting thing to play with, but to have it go well, it's important to have several conversations about it. As we were saying, have one beforehand about what it means to both of you, how you want to participate in it, and have communication during. I would not recommend, as a giver, just doing this without having had any conversations. That can be taken as violence or...
No, you can't do that. It's not that we don't recommend that.
You can't do it. I think people do this without conversations.
Well, not on our watch, baby.
And we would recommend, if that is what you have been doing, to stop doing that and have conversations. And if it's what you have been receiving from somebody and not enjoying, please also stop. If this has been something that you have been receiving without realizing that oral sex could look different or be different, perhaps experiment with the receiver lying still and you being in control and you being in charge of the thrusting and the depth and the speed, and see if you enjoy oral sex more. It is possible that a lot of women can enjoy oral sex more when they are fully in control and having it be kind of a dominant experience even while they're giving. Mm-hmm. And I think especially while using your hands to control the amount of depth. And we've talked about this more in other podcasts about blowjobs and fellatio. So definitely check those out if it's something you're curious about or would like to get better at.
Just look up oral sex in our sex index at pleasuremechanics.com.
So we hope you explore, have conversations.
Yes, dear, my lips are sealed. I hope you can open your mouth with excitement and enjoyment of this act.
Or if not, then don't open them.
Yeah, well, try it once and see how it goes. And you can always stop in the middle if it's not working for you. And I think it's great that you're having conversations about fantasies and desires and making requests for one another. That's a very beautiful place in a relationship where you feel free to do that and have these conversations. And that's what we're all about, is supporting those conversations and explorations. So, dear listeners, if you have any questions you want answered on the future episodes of these podcasts, come on over to pleasuremechanics.com and be in touch. We love hearing from you. And check out all that we have to offer at pleasuremechanics.com. I'm Chris.
I'm Charlotte.
We are the Pleasure Mechanics.
Wishing you a lifetime of pleasure.
Cheers.